In the first chapter of John's Gospel, we read the words, "The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." What is grace? I can remember as a young Christian, I think I'd been a Christian for about 9 months, and I suddenly became aware of this word grace in the scriptures. And although I'd received grace, I didn't know what this word meant. And I said to God, "What is this word grace? What does it mean?" And I had the most terrible day. And it was such an awful day. And of course, when you're a schoolmaster, there's no place to hide because you have to keep dealing with these adolescents whose main aim in life, if they're farmer's sons, is to annoy you and distract you from what you're meant to be doing with them. No, not all the time. But I remember at about 3:30 that afternoon, feeling so miserable, I started to sing Amazing Grace in my study. And I got to the verse, "Through many a danger, many a snares we have already come, 'tis grace hath brought us safe thus far, and grace will take us home." And the Lord spoke to me and he said, "That is grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." John Newton, who wrote that hymn, was the captain of a slave ship. And he was a brutal captain of a slave ship. He really was brutal. He had a young man on board who was a Christian, part of his crew, and he took great delight in destroying his faith. And John Newton eventually came to Jesus, and then he fell away, and then he came back. And he wrote this hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Somebody has said that a good definition of grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. As you know, Jesus took the curses of the old covenant, and he took all our sin and our shame and our guilt and our sorrow. And in the new covenant, he offers us forgiveness. In fact, he says to us, "If you give yourself to me, I swear by blood oath that I will forgive you." He offers us a living relationship with him. And he says, "I will put my spirit in you and I will cause you to keep my commandments." I think we don't really understand so often, do we, that the Christian life is Christ in us, God's Spirit in us, living out his life in us. What's our part? Well, it's to give ourselves to him. That's how you say yes to covenant. We give ourselves to him for him to be our Savior and our King. And I'm never tired of telling you that John 6:28 is the only time Jesus was ever asked, "What is it God wants us to do?" And his answer is crucial. John 6:29, "The work of God is this, that you believe in the one he sent." In other words, entrust yourself to me. We all by now should know that believe doesn't mean in the New Testament what it means in English. And I'm not going to tell you that story again of who I'm dead and the wheelbarrow. But believe in the New Testament is get in. Entrust your life to me. And then in John 15, verse 12, he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." He says, "I give you a new commandment. All this grace and this mercy and this forgiveness that I've given you, I want you to give it away to other people." The gospel is very simple. We make it too complicated. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's very simple. Give yourself to me, says Jesus, and I will forgive you, and I will put my spirit in you, and I will give you a living relationship with you. But I want you to give it away to everybody else. Now that's when we pause. I used to say to schoolboys, how has he loved us? And they'd immediately say, well, he's forgiven us, because they'd had this tremendous burden of guilt lifted off their lives. And I said, right now, he wants us to totally and unreservedly forgive everybody else without exception. And there would be a deathly silence in the room. And then I would say to them, does he condemn you? No. How do you know? Well, it says in Romans 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you remember that occasion when Jesus, when they dragged that woman caught in adultery before Jesus, and he said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone, and they slunk off one by one. I know a church in Johannesburg, Christ Church, Mayfair, it's got a big glass cabinet as you come into the church. It's a big rock in the cabinet. And underneath in brass it says the first stone. And then in brackets it says, him who is without sin cast it. And you see that when you come into the church, and that's a good reminder. He says to the woman, where are they? Who condemned you? She said, they've gone. He says, neither do I condemn you. And then he says, go and sin no more. Well, if he doesn't condemn us, he doesn't want us to condemn others. He doesn't want us to judge others. We just heard that in the gospel. But we're pretty good, all of us, at judging and condemning people. We have, did you know that we have a courtroom in our head? And we are the prosecutor and the judge and the executioner all in one. We do it. Trust me. We do it. If you doubt me, and I mean do this anyway, just ask God, let's ask God to show us who we're judging through this next week. I promise you, you'll get a shock. I tried that at St. John's College. He showed me over 20 people. And I had to repent each time, but I'll come back to that in a minute. Research in America shows that non-Christians have one word that pops into their head the minute they think of Christians. The word is judgmental. That's an indictment, isn't it? We're meant to be welcoming. I, as a young schoolmaster, one morning lost my temper with somebody in the classroom and immediately felt awful because the Holy Spirit convicted me. But there was a 15-year-old girl in the class who I'd known since she was about this high because her father was a schoolmaster as well, and I knew the family. And I knew she was a Christian. And as she walked out of the classroom at the end of the lesson, I said to her, I just want you to know that I picked up every judgmental thought you were thinking about me. And she went bright red. And she said, well, I don't think you should have lost your temper. And I said, yes, I gathered that. People know when we are judging them. I don't know how, but they just do. It comes through. Why would non-Christians call us judgmental? How do you feel when you're judged? You know, I remember saying to friends of mine, and they are dear friends, but they come from a Pentecostal denomination. I said, is so-and-so a Christian? So this woman said, no, she's a Catholic. Oh my word. So now we've just written off millions of people. How dare we? And how would we like it if somebody said, oh, are they Christians? No, they're Anglicans. And yet, that probably happens. Okay? And I just want to encourage you. If we have said yes to Jesus, we are born again. Actually, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, anyone who believes in the Son of God is born of God. Yes, we need to ask ourselves, have we taken that initial step? And it's only His love that brings us to that point where we say, as I so selfishly did one night, okay, God, you win, I give in. You can have my life for what it's worth. It was a very selfish surrender. But I want to encourage you, if people are going around saying, oh, you know, we are born again, but they're not. That's Pharisaism. That's judgmentalism. That's the worst type of Pharisaism you could have. How dare people do that? But please, we're not to fall into the trap of judging them back. Be careful, because that's what usually happens. Somebody judges you, so you judge them back. But I do want to encourage you. Why is judging others wrong? Well, first of all, because Jesus tells us not to. We're disobeying Jesus. Anyway, in the second place, it's stupid. There's a principle involved here. If we refuse to show grace to others by not forgiving and not judging, then we cut ourselves off from grace. You know, Jesus said, if you do not forgive others, if we do not forgive others from our heart, we will not be forgiven. He said it twice, once in Matthew 6 and once in Matthew 18. Full stop, not negotiable. Why? Because I can't look at the cross and say that works for me, but not for you. And I'm not saying forgiveness is easy. But you know what? We can forgive people and still judge them. Whoops. We need to realize that Jesus has said to us that if we judge others, we will be judged by the same measure. And in any case, if we judge others, we become critics of grace. You know what a critic is? Somebody who's criticizing. If we judge others, we become critics of grace. And I'll prove it to you. Turn to James. It's a very interesting two verses. James chapter 4, verse 11. After Hebrews, it's after all of Paul's letters, and I'm afraid I don't have the same Bible as you. But do not speak evil against one another, he begins. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Oh my word, does this cause a lot of trouble? We need to pray and ask God to put a guard over our minds. You know, this causes more trouble in the church than anything else. Do not speak evil against one another. Do not slander one another. Then he goes on to say, whoever speaks evil against another or judges another, by the way, if I'm slandering somebody, you can bet I'm judging them. It's just my judgment coming out of my mouth. He says, whoever judges somebody speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. I want to read you something. I wrote this, but I'm going to have to read it because I think it expresses it better. There is a phrase in James' letter called the Law of Liberty, and it's very different from the Ten Commandments. This became clear to me one day when I was complaining to the Lord about a Christian friend who I believed had been judging and criticizing me. I was busy venting my anger when the Lord interrupted me with the words, the minute you criticize and judge, you have set yourself up as both lawmaker and judge. This immediately rang a bell with me, and so I looked up the relevant verses in James. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. I'd never really understood how in judging my brother, I was judging the law, and I didn't now. And so I said to the Lord, what law? And how can a person judge the law? The answer came a day later. The law is the way things operate. The law I am referring to is the outpouring of my love and grace. If you speak against a brother, you speak against forgiveness, against my mercy. You judge it as a bad way of doing things. So you make your own laws. He should behave like this and this. And when he fails to measure up to your requirements, you judge him. I'll explain that again. The law referred to here is not the Ten Commandments. The word nomos in Greek can mean principle. He's referring back to this expression in the letter that he's used as the law of liberty. And the Lord was saying to me, the minute you start judging somebody, you're not practicing grace. In fact, you're not a doer of the law or principle of grace. You're becoming a judge of it. You're saying that my way of doing things, God's way of doing things, which is to show mercy to others and forgiveness and acceptance, you're actually saying that's a bad way of doing things. I don't like it. I'm going to do it another way. Ouch. That's not good, is it? When we do that, by the way, we are playing God. Joseph was very clear when his brothers thought that he hadn't forgiven them and was still going to condemn them and judge them. He said to them, he was so shocked, he said, am I in the place of God? James here says, who do you think you are? Not what do you think you're doing? Paul also says it, who are you to judge? You know, if we look at James chapter 2, verse 12. If you haven't got a Bible, I'll read it out to you. Listen to this. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. It's what he calls the royal law. It's the law of love. It's the law of the king. It's acceptance and grace. He says, judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is what he's saying. He's saying because we are all inescapably guilty before the Ten Commandments, because we all deserve hell, do not judge others. Instead, show them grace, mercy, and forgiveness. As you have received grace, extend that grace to others. As you have received grace, extend that grace to others. Love one another as I have loved you. I tell you what, we're not going to do that unless we've received his forgiveness. We're not going to do that unless we've received his love. We're not going to do that unless we receive a fresh revelation of his incredible grace towards us. And so let's now pray by using the words of the general confession. But let's take a bit of silence just to say to God, please show me who I'm judging. And then I'll lead us in a prayer. Father, please forgive us for the times we've judged others, but please show us now if there's anyone or any person or anything that we're judging. Catherine Marshall, a great Christian writer, was shown by God that she was judging Henry VIII. And she said, but he's been dead for 400 years. And the Lord said, it doesn't matter. Maybe we judged our parents. Maybe we judge members of our family. Maybe we judge our fellow Christians in the church.
Dare I say it, maybe we even judge the minister, who is in need of God's grace just as much as anyone else. If God has shown you somebody, pray this prayer in your heart. Father, please forgive me for judging X. Forgive me for playing God. They may be as wrong can be, but I'll not be the judge. I release them now from my judgment, and I bless them in your name. So we pray together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in penitence we confess that we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have left undone. For the sake of your Son, Christ our Lord, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. We're having technology issues here at the moment.